What's good? Welcome back, kings, queens, everything in betweens, for another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Warren. Your favorite person sitting right across.
Can I take this?
Yeah, take your sweater off.
Is my shirt too see-through? No, it's
fine,
right? I
don't see anything.
Okay, cool.
Oh. Actually, I can kind of see headlights, like...
Yeah, damn it, dude.
Is your favorite person in the world? Annabelle, how are you doing?
What's up? I'm doing... I don't even know. I'm a little...
What's the latest that you're cool to share?
I told you about my neighbor... In my apartment
complex.
Oh, shit.
Have there been any updates?
Had I explained that on
here
at all?
No. Tell a high-level story.
All right. Okay. So, I'm going to try and make this quick. So, a few months ago, or it probably was like 6 months ago, I have a neighbor. He parks his fucking motorcycle, all fucking stupid, inside of the parking garage. I'm in an apartment complex. And I didn't know who this person was. I just knew that they had this dumbass bike. And they would park it up all stupid so that they were technically saving a spot for their own car, but, like, not paying for a reserved spot. And so I, like, parked there once. He left me a note that said, like, if you block my bike again, we're gonna have an issue. Okay.
And it's not,
sure,
you're
girl.
Not blocking the bike in. Like,
sure,
you're
shut
able
the
to, like,
fuck up. Yes, I, well, so at that time I was like, oh, maybe I blocked it in, so I don't know, whatever. I didn't need to park in that spot for a while, but it's prime parking. So several months later, I park there because I'm like, it's late. I don't have, like, whatever. Fuck it. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Come out the next morning. My license plate is like, my license plate holder ripped in half. It was metal. UCSB alumni. And then my license plate was like folded in like origami. And my like windshield wipers were all fucked with. So obviously, I was... completely livid, but I was kind of like, what do I do right now? Mm-hmm. I was like, I better go through the proper channels, at least let the apartment complex know. Went down there and they were like very flippant at first. They were very I was like, this happened clearly, and they're like, well, you can check the cameras, but it's gonna take a really long time to go through all that footage, and like, we probably won't even be able to see. Okay, girl, shut up, whatever, do it. And they wanted me to like file a police report. I just was like, I don't, this isn't gonna go anywhere, this sucks. Then I get a hold of them and they're like, yeah, we have video of him driving up, pulling up. He implied that it might have been two people. Sees it at like 3 a.m, so like they're probably drunk, mm-hmm. or something, but he wouldn't tell me who it was. Yeah. Wouldn't tell me any identifying information. He also has a car, so he would reserve that spot for his car, and his license plate is bloody ice, which I think is a weird detail.
It's insanely terrifying.
So strange, yeah. Right?
It's,
yes,
fitting.
totally terrifying. So I spent a long time trying to find this person and like interact with him. Mm-hmm. Was not seeing who was driving that car. Then finally, like a couple weeks ago, Daniel and I, mm-hmm. are walking in and we figure it out. It's, mm-hmm. him. Like, I don't remember how we figured it out, but we're like, oh shit, that's him. Mm-hmm. Not a flicker of recognition in his eyes, mm-hmm. of us, but later I'm like, he knew who I was, I think. Mm-hmm. I think. So then I started plotting like a insane person. I was like, I mean, I'd kind of been plotting like already, like, what am I, because all of the shit fell through, the cops never got back to me, whatever. What am I gonna do to him that could be untraceable, like, to me? Because I followed him a little bit and I saw what apartment complex or what apartment he was in. So, and I like knew, I don't know, I was like, I'm gonna do something insane. So
stink bomb?
No.
You could stink.
You know, I could do a stink bomb.
There's certain like websites that are meant for pranks and like they make it like that are like they're supposed to be for like your friends.
But. Yeah. Yes. I had like a biblical fury in me, I guess, because I was collecting dead grasshoppers to slowly build up under like the wind guard.
You
of
could
his.
Put him on the visit me list for the Jehovah Witnesses. Just like go down the list of every. Single
I didn't have any of his. I didn't have his name. I didn't have anything like that.
Well, you could probably, if you have his little address. The Jehovah Witnesses will go inside apartment complexes.
They will not. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'll
really?
They'll
they
knock
will?
On doors. Oh. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I was going to like build them up under his like little wind guard on his bike slowly over time. Like, I was literally just, collecting.
Write a fake name and have it send a bunch of mail to it and just have it be like something like, I don't know, just call him like dork ass loser.
Yeah, but that wasn't cruel enough for me. That wouldn't you know, ring my bell. I needed something.
This is how you're gonna do it. Locusts.
Locusts. A plague of locusts.
Trick him into thinking he has the plague.
I did put like a little bit of lube on his door handle. That was how I started. Just a little on the back, you know, just so he's like, what the heck? You know?
That's silly. Do you know if he has like a single apartment or if he's...
Yes, I do. However, the other night, I'm sorry, I didn't finish the story. So the other night, I fucking pull in. He pulls in front of me. I know his car. He knows my car. He pulls into the parking garage. I'm like, it's going to be a confrontation. I call Daniel. I'm like, dude, I'm pulling in right now. He's sitting in his car. I'm sitting in my car. Like, I'm going to confront him. Daniel's like, don't do that. I was like, click. I'm getting out. I'm gonna go talk to him. And so he gets out and goes inside in front of me, but then comes right back out. And I was like, caught off guard almost, because I didn't call out to him. He would like approach me, and I was just like, "Are you Bloody Ice?" And he was like, "What?" Like, he was totally trying to play it off, trying to be. I was like, "Are you Bloody Ice? Did you fuck up my car?" Like, white lady screaming at him in the fucking park. Oh my god, it was so crazy. And he like tried to play it off, pretending like he didn't know. He's like, I was like, "Are you the owner of that bike? Are you the owner of that car?" And he's like, "Yeah." Well, I was like, "Okay, well, the owner of that bike and that car did this to me, hun." And he like started to, and then it was starting to click. And then I was explaining to him, because he said something about the parking situation. He's like, "Oh, you're the one that was blocking in my bike or something." I'm like, "I didn't block it in. I made sure I didn't block it in. You know that. You were saving the spot for yourself and not paying for a reserved spot." And he tried to explain to me that the lady in the office told him that. I was like, "Bitch, I don't care. I don't care because you attacked my car." Yeah. I was like, "That's so scary, dude. Like, you ripped my metal license plate holder in half. Like, hello? I'm very terrified." I was like, totally like defenseless, like yelling at him. And he kind of just started to like, he was so, oh my God, he folded immediately. He folded? He was so submissive.
Oh, I was like, I was so scared he was going to like,
no, dude, no.
Bloody Ice was quiet. Just a little bitch.
He had, honestly, he has like gorgeous like veneers.
Oh God, no.
Bottom teeth.
Don't even go there.
I know. But it's like, that's like what, 20K? His car is like nice. His bike is nice. Like, he clearly has money.
Yeah.
But he eventually was like, "I'm sorry." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm sorry too. I didn't mean to make you so fucking emotional. Like, but I won't touch your shit if you don't touch my shit. How's that? What's your name?" And he told me his name was Lorenzo. And so, all right, cool. I go inside. Next morning I come out, I like see him in the hallway. Mm-hmm. He was like wearing a bonnet. It was funny. And I was like, "Hi, Lorenzo." And he like kind of waved at me. And then I went out to my car, and there was a like little blinged out license plate holder sitting on the windshield of my car. Wait, like in the wrapping. It was kind of cute, right? It was kind of cute. Daniel was so mad.
Wait, that's actually very sweet. I tried to look up Lorenzo Bloody Ice, see if that was like a
Lorenzo
name
Bloody Ice.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's like a name. Okay. I've changed my tune on Bloody Ice.
Well, yeah, me too. So what am I going to do with all those dead crickets now? Because they're in a jar.
I don't know. Save them for your next enemy.
Oh my God.
Death and destruction. We love it. Just like this episode today is about death and destruction, or at least the first part.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
No, it's a good transition. We can always know. We always have a
transition.
Yeah, death and destruction, locusts, and we have a letter that has a lot to do with death. I guess this is a mini trigger warning. If you've experienced a death recently, you don't want to hear about death, maybe skip the. Have you ever dated any dead people or anyone who's dead now?
No, have you?
No.
Wow, no. No, I have not. But yeah.
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
I mean,
not that I know of.
I don't like
right.
I'm pretty good about like unfollowing and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I don't know if the first date someone's no died in a car.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The kiss of death. Love the pod and thought I'd share an old story with you to get your take. This was 5 years ago, so not an ask for something in the immediate term, but wondering if you do things differently. Also, the story is insane and I could not share. I was 2.5 dates in with a guy I met on the apps. This guy, who we'll call Tom, was 37, never married, no kids, and seemed very much like a relationship guy. He had a solid job, hobbies, friends, no red flags. Dates 1 and 2 were drinks, and the half date was dinner and a movie night at his place. We did some physical stuff, but no sex. We'd known each other for all of a month, if you count the talking stage before the dates. LOL, use the term, right? But I liked him, and after the dinner and movie, I was hoping to continue seeing him and get to know him better. The day after our movie night, we were texting throughout the workday, mostly small talk, talking about the next date ideas into the evening. The text tapered off, and I assumed he went to sleep. The next morning, I texted, no response. I chalked that up to a busy day, but I hadn't heard from him later in the evening either. The following day, Thursday, I texted to ask what he was doing that weekend, no response. I think I sent one more text after that, but when I didn't hear back, I thought it was a sign of ghosting. I was bummed, but also not surprised. A lot of guys drop off at the date 3 mark due to dating others or thinking it'll be a thing if we keep seeing each other. Mentally, I took the L and cut my losses. Fast forward to Monday at 1 p.m. or so, I was in a meeting at work and got a call from an unfamiliar number. I rejected it just for it to call back immediately. I continued to do this, but after literally the 10th call, I excused myself, answering the phone to what sounded like an older woman crying hysterically to the point where I couldn't even make out what she was saying. It was Tom's mother calling to tell me that Tom was dead. I took the rest of the day off and called her back. I didn't get any answers beyond the fact that Tom was found dead in his apartment earlier that morning. His family and friends were getting worried that he hadn't answered their calls, and then learned he'd no call, no showed to work. When they did check things out, they found him dead. I wasn't told anything beyond that, but I did get a lot of questions, a lot of them from Tom's mom. She was able to get his phone, and I was one of the last he'd called or texted, so she called me trying to figure out what could have happened. She definitely thought our situation was more serious than it was. She used the word girlfriend a few times. Being in shock myself, I didn't have the heart to tell her the extent of our relationship and was basically just repeating, I don't know and I'm so sorry, over and over. After a 3-hour phone call, there were a few sporadic texts over the next day, followed by her saying she'd hold off on communication until speaking with the medical examiner, I think. Luckily, Tom's sister stepped in, contacting me 2 days later. She was closer in age to me and had a better understanding of modern dating. I was able to be totally honest that I didn't really know Tom all that well, and we'd only been on a few dates. I said I just assumed he'd ghosted, and I apologized profusely for not recognizing it was something so serious. I offered to give her any information she needed to help, gave a play-by-play of the dates, and mentioned he seemed to be mentally healthy and not having any issues. Not long after this, she got back in touch to tell me the cause of death was some underlying heart condition and collapsed and hit his head while meal prepping in the kitchen. He lived alone, neighbors didn't hear anything, so there was no one to get help. His sister added that they thought death was suspicious at first, hence his mom disappearing, as there had been some blood and knives that were out from prepping. No known health issues. That didn't even occur to me then. I spent a few hours on the phone with his sister to share the few family-friendly, positive stories and life updates Tom shared with me, and he seemed like a great guy who loved his family. She invited me to his memorial, but it was in his hometown, so I couldn't attend, but sent flowers. I haven't talked to her or Tom's mother since, but I think of them often and hope they have found some peace. It definitely took me at least a year and a lot of therapy to get back to dating after that. I was worried I was cursed and could quite literally be the kiss of death. I also felt so guilty being annoyed at Tom versus concerned. I definitely get more triggered by ghosting after quite literally being ghosted. I'm now in a healthy relationship, so that worked out. But definitely a crazy story, and wondering what... Oh, I need to go to the next page here. Okay. But definitely a crazy story, and wondering what you'd suggest if I were a letter writer amidst such a situation. One of my lawyer friends caught on immediately that I could potentially be a suspect in a mysterious death and said I should have lawyered up. But that didn't even cross my mind at the time. Before I knew anything, I honestly feared he'd die by suicide. I like to think I handled it the best as anyone could, but what do you think? Not even going to go into how situations like this make you question your own mortality, but that might be a topic in itself for the pod, particularly for the late 30s listeners. Love you guys. Whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, I need a break because that hurt my throat a lot.
Yeah, have a drink. That was like, so when people are like, when people talk about like married people living longer, like, I honestly think it's for stuff like that. Not like people are like, oh, like you'll die a little bit. Like, I think that is the reason married people live longer. Like, when we were growing up, it was always like buddy system, buddy system, buddy system. You go anywhere because if something happens, you have someone to get help or help you. Like, marriage, you got your, like, permanent buddy system. Like,
yeah.
If you're alone, you live alone, and something happens to you, like, you don't have anyone to call to get help.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, I mean, I think that's a whole thing. Like, I mean, a lot of these types of, like, sudden deaths like that, like, are fatal in itself, like, even if someone was around. But, like, you know, if something, you fall down the stairs, like, you hit your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Damn, the Terry Shaw, that reminds me of the Terry Schiavo case. You know that case?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, yeah. Dude, brutal. Absolutely think you handled it the best anyone could. That's super... what's the movie that came out recently? I think it had, like... Justin Timberlake in it.
Wait, the one with the
he goes to Abilene, or no, the girl's name.
Vengeance. Vengeance. Yeah, so that
Vengeance. Like, kind of like, a similar, just the beginning part of that, right? Yeah.
That was, I liked that movie. That was like
it was interesting. It was a little too like pop quirky for me, but it was an interesting concept in the beginning where,
yeah, and
he had maybe gone on a few dates with a girl, mm-hmm. and his she dies, mm-hmm. and her family mistakenly believes that he was her, like, consistent boyfriend, and yeah. he goes out there to report the story. Yeah, and
he's, like,
yeah.
an aspiring podcaster, uses yeah. the story for... Well, like, because I think, like, if you die and, like, someone gets a hold of your phone, like, I think parents who maybe don't understand hookup culture, you see someone saying, like, night, baby, or, so, like, whatever yeah. it is you're saying to them, like, they might just assume, like, girlfriend, boyfriend... whatever. Like, I think in that movie, like, she particularly, like, convinced her parents, or, like, or was convinced herself that it was something, like, more serious or something. I don't know. But, like...
Yeah. I'm sure, also, a grieving parent, there would be some subconscious part of them that would want you to have been, like, a, you know, serious relationship exactly. for him. You know? Another person who's, like, attached to him and knew him well.
Yeah. And I think, like, she did the best she could. Like, I mm-hmm. guess, like, when you think of the point about, like, lawyering up, like, I mean, yeah, if there's, like, if someone dies under mysterious circumstances, because, you know, it's, like, always the husband, it's always the wife,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you, like, we're on a few dates with someone who dies under mysterious circumstances, you could, like, inadvertently become a suspect. I don't know. I would, like, totally. I probably would be like her. Like, I probably wouldn't even think of that. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, like, they're in the kitchen, like, whatever, like, oh, I'm a murder suspect. Like, I wouldn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds like they figured it out quickly. I don't know how, like, the autopsies and all that, like, works and how fast that is, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, like, a theme I've seen in other TV shows. Like, there's one, like, Sex and the City.
Yeah.
It happens to Miranda. I mean, all this crazy, the bad stuff happens. Well,
like, do you remember that show? I think it was called, like, Night or something. It was an HBO limited series.
Oh, yeah,
do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And
he's, like, the cab driver.
Yes. But doesn't he, like, go to hook up with a girl, and then she's found, like, brutally murdered the yeah. next morning or something?
I feel like that is actually the plot of several different TV shows, except, like, those are, like, brutal murders, and, like, you're just, like, the wrong place, the wrong time.
Wrong time, just started seeing this girl, kind of like her, like, absolutely no ill intent at all, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, this could have been the star of a,
yeah,
like, written a movie out of this, but it sounds like you got, like, because you could easily... In situations like this, like, people don't react well to, like, untimely deaths of family members. Like, you could have, it sounds like
yep.
you got lucky with
could have been
all
bad.
The characters involved. No, that's also, it's also a plot, did you ever watch New Girl?
No.
Like, it's actually just Zoe. Zoe Deschanel moves in with, like, she's in the loft, it's like a TV show, with the four yep. guy roommates or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's quirky and always getting into hijinks, and she's, like, starting to date a guy. I think he's, like, supposed to be, like, a sports agent or something like that.
Okay.
She's, like, a few dates in with him. She's sexting him, and, like, her sexts are really bad. Like, she's, like, sending her bra over her t-shirt. Like,
uh-huh.
it's, like, really cringy. And then she finds out he died. And she's like, oh my God, he died. Like, she's a few dates in. She's like, I have to go to the funeral. They're like, Jess, don't go to the funeral. She's like, I'm going to go to the funeral.
Oh no.
I can't not be there. And she gets there, and it's literally just like, it's at a house. It's like his family. And she finds out he had a girlfriend the whole time.
Oh.
And so dear. She's like, and then the parents are like, oh, to the girlfriend, like, here, take the phone, like, to
remember him. And Jess is like, oh shit, I've got to go get the phone so I can delete the text because she'll think I'm terrible. No, and then because he's like a sports agent, she goes with the roommate who's into sports. And then JJ Watt shows up because he was the client. He's like, JJ Watt's here. We can't leave. And then they pretend to be his best friends so that he can be friends. It's like, but it like, it. Yeah, like it's very, I feel like it's a plot that you see sometimes.
Yes.
What's your experience with dating and death? Like you can pass until I meet.
Yeah. My boyfriend of like 3.5 years, we first started dating maybe not even 2 months after his girlfriend died in a freak accident. And we only met because of this accident. I knew like one other girl who was on this boat that it was a boating accident at Lake Havasu. And I knew one other girl, but I didn't know her, my ex's girlfriend at the time. I think like 4 people died. It was really, really tragic. But I did a memorial portrait of one of the girls, Kira, and then her family like loved it. And so I was commissioned to do a portrait of the other girl, which was John's girlfriend. And that went to him. And that's how I met him. And I remember like when I started dating him, probably the first like 4 months of dating him was like just some of the darkest times of my life. Like it was so hard. It was so hard because, like, I mean, John is a weird case. When you find out, like he and I broke up. we moved here. We broke up. And then he married a girl, like, 3 months later. And he had just told me that he, like, was going to marry me this year, like, whatever. Or was going to propose to me. And I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah. He was impulsive.
So I think it's on brand for him. But he was insisting to me, like, God, and it was so frustrating because he would be like, I just wish you didn't care so much what people think, what other people think. And I was like, dude, her sister who survived this accident, like, hates me for dating you. Like, hates me for taking her. Like, they're angry at me. I'm like the evil fucking Wicked Witch.
Mm-hmm. Like, you had and a I sister. Tried. Like, you could, dude, well, you're probably putting yourself in her shoes.
Oh my God, dude. Yes, absolutely.
And then, hadn't they, like, never found the body?
And so that they was did. Part of it? They did. I mean, at that time, no. All three were found, like, within that weekend, I think. And then Reagan wasn't found until, like, 2 years later, 4th of July. It was, like, a full moon. And someone found her intact body. Yeah. So that was fucking crazy. It was just a crazy... He was so... It bothered me a lot. A lot. I had talked to a psychic about it. And the psychic, like, put me very much at... I was just like, is she, you know, like, fucking mad at me? Like, what... And I'm a really sensitive person, too, about how I can't believe I did this because I'm so sensitive about, like, how I need, like, so much affection and I don't want to compete with any other women. So the fact that, like, he's going to, like, her, like, memorial service on the Channel Islands with her whole family and, like, speaking about how, like, beautiful she was. It was just like, whoa, hey, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, respectfully, what am I doing here?
Wait, did you go to those with
No, them? No, no, okay. No. Well, I mean, what am I doing here, like, in a relationship with this person?
Yeah.
And he, but it just, I was like, honestly, something in my, like, soul told me that, like, I needed to be with him.
Yeah.
Like, for my own, he introduced me to tattooing.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he totally changed my life, for sure. I mean, it was never going to be it. But yeah, so going through that, it definitely, like, I think I did a lot of art at that time that was really reflective of that experience, you know, because it's also like, who am I to be fucking feeling weird? Who am I to be, like, upset at all? What? Hello?
Yeah, like, you're, you know, you showed up.
Yes. The only times that it was like a topic of argument was when he was just like, I wish you didn't care what people think. She wasn't like that.
Caring what people think. It's like, you know, you feeling horrible for the situation.
Feeling horrible, like, but I did care too, I mean, you know? Yeah. It's like, I'm like, it looks bad. bad. Like, yeah. It looks bad. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It kind of looks weird on him, too, to be, like, in 2 months.
But... Well, you hear the stories about, like, the people where it's, like, their wife dies of cancer, and then 3 months later, they're in a new relationship, and it's, like, dad, what the fuck? Like...
Yeah.
You know, and so there is that, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there... Was he... Like, I mean, he was probably going...
That is kind of a sickening behavior, isn't it?
I mean, I think
that's
it's
weird, right?
Like
for someone, like, if your loved one, or if your wife dies of cancer, let's say, and then you're instantly in a new relationship.
I think when that has happened, like, a lot of times, like, when you see that, it's, like, a lot of times it's, like, someone from the support group, or it's, like, whose, like, spouse also died not that long ago, or it's, like, the person, like, the therapist, someone that met the therapist. So it is, like, something where...
Trauma bond.
Yeah. Like, or it's, like, something like that. Like, it's not usually, like, they just, like, met a new person right as their spouse died. It's, like...
Yeah.
Usually, like, those are, like, gradual. Like, those are long and sad, painful deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, a really weird time in my life, for sure. I mean, all of his friends accepted me. They were all, like, really sweet for the most part. But then it was, like, years of processing this shit, too, where, like, all of her friends from home... Like, I was now in these spaces that they used to, like, exist in. And it would it just put, like, an uncomfortable, like, pain in my stomach when it would come up. Because it's, like, I didn't even know her.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever met her once.
And she was, like, it was one of those things where it's, like, was in the same spaces, but you just never crossed paths. Yeah. Like, you run into that. Like, the person that went to, like, the opposite high school, and you just, like, you saw them in pictures from other people's Facebooks and whatever. But, like,
totally.
God, that's...
Yeah, damn, dude. And I had done, like, a drawing of her, you know? I spent a long time, like, long time.
Yeah, you probably got to know
photo of her.
Yeah, you felt, like, you felt... You
totally,
felt
I did another drawing of her and her sister, and that was before I started dating John. Yeah, oh
did
my God.
Did you ever, like, have a better relationship with the sister or her family, or did that...
I don't know. They kind of, I think, just sort of, like, fizzled off. Like, I think sister got married, I think they had a complicated relationship with their, like, mom or parents or whatever. So, hard to say. But, yeah, no, nothing really ever came of it. But, but it was definitely, like, oh, God. Have you ever, like, gotten into a relationship with someone where in the beginning you're just, like, it's just an
They've got unfinished business.
Yes, yes.
Like, whatever
unfinished
it is.
Business, whether it's, like, they're not over their ex or something, you know, yeah.
Like, I feel like... No, I feel like I was those types of people. I would always just, like, run because I would be like, this person doesn't want to be in a relationship. Like, they're this is the type of person who will tell me I'm not looking for anything serious. But, like, I've had ones where I'd be, like, early into dating and it would be like, oh my God, like, my ex is, like, weird family, just, like, keeps calling me, like, they're like, just weird stuff like that. And it was just, oh my God, my ex is so dramatic. And then you would see the Instagram story, like, this person looking at my stories or something, and I hadn't even been, like, tagged in this person's stuff yet. And it was just like, I don't want to walk, like, I feel like when you enter a relationship, it should just be this, like, blissful, happy thing, honeymoon stage, whatever. Like, it shouldn't be like, okay, we gotta, like, kind of tread a little bit. I don't know. But those were always, like, situations of, like, the ex is crazy. Like, it wasn't something like a true tragedy like that.
Damn. Sometimes it's like, if you're horny enough, like, you'll go through it. I will never do this again. I regret this for the rest of my entire fucking life.
I don't think there'll be a situation where someone dies and you get commissioned by their family.
No. I mean, not that, what I'm about to say. Because there was another relationship that was...
Oh, go for it.
I will never do this again, ever. This is not me, okay? I regret this. God, this is such a cancelable offense. I hate myself for doing this, but I... started dating Danny in college. He was in the Boys a Cappella group. He was the beatboxer.
This guy's, like, actually famous now.
No, he's not.
He was on The Bachelor Listen to Your Heart. And okay, he's a big YouTuber.
He got, like, 3 seconds on The Bachelor. Okay,
just
shut up. Okay, so he has such, like, a YouTube personality. It's so fucked because my friend Jesse, who had, like, graciously like let me into the girls a cappella group. She was the president. They selected me. She was like obsessed with him and loved him, and he just like wasn't into her, and she was heartbroken over it, and I started dating him. Don't know why. Don't fucking know why. What came over me? Why I was like, I have to have this man.
You were 18.
I guess. I don't know why. Dude, I lasted 1 month. I dated him for 1 month and I hated him. Hated him. It was so not worth it. He was such a fucking joke, dude.
Dill's like, that's just him. Jump cuts. His fans are 13-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Just what a goofball. But I mean, like, that's it's different than like, this is my friend's ex. Like, it's like this person has this crush. You didn't know how serious it was. Like, you walked in, you didn't know what you were walking into.
You're justifying it.
I'm not justifying it, but I'm also an apologist for me.
And I don't deserve that.
No, like, it's like, and that's what people do things like that when they're 18. And like, you've never done anything like that again.
Yeah.
Never. And like,
that shit's crazy. I would never. I don't understand when men like cheat on their wives and girlfriends. I'm like, where are they finding women? I mean, maybe a lot of them don't know, but like, where are they finding women that are like, oh, you have a wife? Don't care.
I think
I'm gonna like a badge of fucking honor. Oh, sick. So, he was willing to cheat on his wife for you.
So I think like some of them don't know. And I think there's also like that's why you'd see it's like the coworkers at work. Like I think we talked. I don't know if it was like the last episode or whatever, but like two people that are both married, like they both got skin in the game. They both got something to lose. Oh, no, we're working late. Oh, my God. Like my husband is just like so needy. And like so my wife is the same way. Like, oh, like sometimes I just want to escape it all. And then they're like making out with each other.
OK, OK, OK.
Like, I think it's like that.
Sometimes I just want to escape it all. Mm-hmm. And then they're making out.
I don't even know.
That's crazy.
That was just some fan fiction. Left out by friends due to single status. I, 30 female, am the only one still single out of my core group of four girls. We've been close for the last 5 years, and at one point we were all roommates before they all moved in with boyfriends or husbands over the years. A few weeks back, one of the girls, who we'll call Mary, entered a contest via Instagram. It was for a farm-to-table fancy dinner on a ranch for 8 people, with transportation to and from in a limo. The contest was based on the number of tags or follows, so she tagged me and the other girls in our group, their boyfriends and husbands, along with several others, as a way to get more entries. She eventually won. I didn't give too much thought to the prize at that point, as it was more her thing, but I did sort of assume I'd be one of the other 7 she'd invite based on group headcount and what she's done in the past. She has a thing for entering contests. She's won on several occasions. Fast forward to last week, I sent the group a text asking what everyone's plans were for the weekend, hoping to set something up. Radio silence, which was not normal. A day later, I was on the phone with one of the other girls in the group, one-on-one, and asked again about weekend plans. She mentioned she was going on a group date with the other two girls in the group and significant others, along with one other girl that Mary knows from work and her husband. When she mentioned it being an all-day affair taking place on a ranch, I said, oh, is it for that contest Mary won? And my friend replied that it was. My heart sort of sunk. The next day, since it was sort of eating away at me, I decided to bite the bullet and just call Mary, both to mention that I was a bit hurt to not make the cut for the event and also ask her if I'd done something wrong. She assured me that no, I had not, and it was nothing personal. Apparently, when she got the dinner event plan from the organizer, it seemed more like a romantic theme, so she thought it'd make more sense for it to be just couples. She said she didn't want to make things awkward for me or for me to feel like a seventh wheel, and thought she was doing me a favor since I probably wouldn't have fun. She also added that due to me not having a partner, she'd need to find one more single friend to attend, so inviting couples just made things easier. She said again that she was doing me a favor and reassured me that I'm first priority on the list for her next contest win. I know Mary is a nice person who meant well and with her explanation to me, but I can't help but feel worse after talking to her. All her doing me a favor by leaving me off the invite so I didn't feel like the odd one out does is quite literally make me the odd one out. I saw the event agenda and the pictures from afterward. There is no way I wouldn't have fun at an event like this, and it definitely wouldn't have been less fun than sitting home alone while all my friends plus some random couple rode a party bus and drank fancy wine. I think what makes it even more of a bummer, I've really struggled with dating in the last year or so, and I've confided in Mary about this. One particular frustration about my single status has been with my very religious, marriage-minded family, making me feel lesser than my female married cousins. Specifically, they'll include the married cousins from my generation in activities with the older generations, which is often much nicer, while the single cousins are left with the kids.
This is often presented as a favor to the single people, like, oh, you wouldn't have fun at this fancy dinner reservation. It's for the boring married people. You'd have more fun at the casual burger drink with joint with a cheap beer and loud music. That kind of thing. I've told Mary about this plenty, so it just feels really shitty to have one of my good friends do the exact same thing that has given me so much agony lately. She could have just said, keeping it as couples makes it easier to make sure everyone's committed. Calling it a favor just feels so condescending. When I tried to vent to my mom about this, she cut me off mid-sentence with a, well, you should never feel entitled to an invite, and she could invite whoever she wants, and she said it's nothing personal. I know that. I know Mary meant well and probably believed she was doing the right thing, but it just feels shitty, and I can't help but feel like there's less room for me and my girl group as we enter our 30s and things become more couple-centric. This has happened a bit on a smaller scale within the last few years, but was always just one-off dinners or lunches rather than an all-day extravagant affair. I am rambling, I know, and I swear I want some advice beyond just venting, though venting feels good. Do you have a script or something I can say to my close friends about how I like to be treated as a single person? Is there a non-confrontational, politically correct way to say, going forward, I prefer to be invited and decide for myself if an event is too coupley versus you making the decision for me? What are some ways to keep friendships intact as friends enter serious relationships and marriages when life changes are inevitable?
Quick question. Did she mention at all if she wants to be single? Does she like being single, or is she?
She said, like, that's the thing. Like, she said, like, dating's been difficult, and like, she hates that her single status is like excluding her from stuff in her family. And like, some families are like that.
That is weird. I hope. Oh my god, dude! Do not let your family pressure you into getting married.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of God. Elizabeth Cady Stanton did not fight for your rights at Seneca Falls for you to fold under the pressure of your family to get married.
True. I think it sounds like dating's been tough. Like, I would assume she does. Like, otherwise she would say so or be like, I don't want that. Yeah. Like, she said dating's been tough. So assume she does. But even if she doesn't, like, it's kind of, you know, it sucks where it's like people assume, like, oh, you wouldn't have fun. This is for couples. Or, you know, you kind of get othered. Yeah. For lack of a better way to put it.
Damn. Yeah, I guess I hadn't really...
I do think, like, one of my...
All my friends are... I have lots of single
friends.
One
of my biggest pet peeves
is... hang out with punks, so yeah. We don't really do marriage and all that.
Yeah. Like, one of my biggest pet peeves that people can do is, like, the big theme of that email, which is, like, people having a personal choice that they want to make, like something that's really about them, and then presenting it as a favor to me, or like it's a selfless thing that they're doing for me, which, like, I hate that. Like, just own it. Like, whether the reason is I want it to be couples, you know, because there's a point where it's like you want to have it, it does make it easier. It's one less person to account for. Like, you have, you know, three wees versus you know, with
totally
couples,
and
it's three wees versus, you know, two, like, four, like, one that maybe is an odd one out, like, who's the single person gonna be, like, you know, like, but just owning it yourself, like, hey, like, you know, it just, it made things easier, you know, you've come to a lot of events, like, we're gonna do plenty of stuff, like, it just kind of felt like, you know, coupley for me, like, I don't know, I just hate it when people present it as a favor, like, just like people...
Yeah, that's, ew, that's annoying.
Yeah, like, people...
You wouldn't have had any fun, don't worry.
Yeah, like, people will say, like, random, like a random one, but like when people don't want kids at their wedding or something like that, which, like, I don't want kids at my wedding.
Yeah,
like,
period.
Ew. A lot of people don't.
Gross.
Like, a lot of people will say to
no kids.
Yeah, a lot of people will say to parents, like, we do want to give the parents the night off and be like, have it be less stressful. And parents are like, well, it's actually more stressful to leave things at home. Just say I don't want kids at my wedding for me. Like, don't make it seem like you're doing me a favor, you know?
Oh, it's more stressful to leave them at home.
Well, I mean, or it's like, don't assume what is or isn't more stressful for me. Like, maybe it's more stressful for me to leave them with grandma or a babysitter. Like, don't make that decision for them.
True.
Just say, I don't want kids at my wedding, and make it about you. Like, don't make it seem like you're doing
I don't want your ratty little, snotty little fucking kids at my wedding, period.
Yeah.
Put it in the invite.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
You are 2 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
When you were my age, 29,
mm-hmm.
were you, like, stressing about marriage? Were you, like, thinking about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, as far as I can remember, but...
Yeah, no, so I was, like, it was just sort of, like, is this...
if, you know, I did, I like dated people, like I met a lot of, like I'm a social person, I met a very diverse mix of guys.
At that point, were your friends starting to get married?
The dominoes 29? Were falling for sure. Okay. Like, okay. Yeah, or they were in something serious, engaged, like, and I was 2 years, like, 2 years ago, yeah, I was single. Yeah.
Danielle and was married.
Danielle was married. Kristen was married. Nicole
by
was-
by 29?
Kristen is, got held back in kindergarten. Kristen was 30.
Oh, that's right.
Nicole, I think, was engaged. Like, uh-huh. It was a lot of, like, dominoes like that were falling. Yeah, or, like, yeah, yeah. People, it just, like, coupling off. And it was just more of, like, if not now, like, when, who's this person going to be? Where am I going to find them?
Dude, it's crazy.
And, like, it was just, it was kind of, like, you know, like, I would have, it's like, okay, this random, like, ghosting happening. I, like, and so I would get kind of stressed about it just because, like, I don't, like, I'm trying to, like, think of a way to say this nicely. Like, I never worried about, like, bio, like, our, like, if you look back at our family history and all of that, people have had kids into their mid, late 30s just fine.
Sure. Okay.
Like, cool. And, you know, people can, it's healthy, like, when people are like, oh, you can't have over 30, it's like, no, that's not true. And then also, it's like, if you look through your family history, like, I went to the doctor, that wasn't what I was worried about as much as, like, I watch my parents be older parents to my younger brother, and, like,
you don't want
to
be an old parent.
I don't want to be an old, like, I don't want to get started too late. Like, I think, like, I've said before, like, one of my biggest fears is, like, my parents not meeting my children, like,
no, that won't happen.
Yeah, I hope not. But, like, that was a fear that I had, or, like, just something where it's, like, you know, I didn't want to be an old parent. It's also just, like, I want to grow up with my friends. Like, I've always done life camaraderie.
Sure.
You know, like, I want to call up my friend and say, my kid's going through this, and their kids are close in age.
Okay. Yes.
Like, you know, I did.
But your friends here are not so much.
It's a mix, but, like, I also vow my friends that I've known my entire life, like, those are the friendships that I have. I'm not one of those people where it's like, I hate when people say they've outgrown friendships. Like, I think that's just so mean. Mm-hmm. But no, like, I consider those my closest friends, and, like, that is, I want to be able to call my best friend.
Yeah.
And be able to talk to her about kids that are close in age.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's valid.
And that was just, like, that's the thing for me. It's like, you know, not a, like, it's never been like, you don't have to rush into things, blah, don't feel pressure. It's like, I'm not feeling pressure from other people. It's what I want. Like, I don't know.
Right.
But.
I still haven't gotten that call.
I mean, like, it's interesting the waves that it can come in, and, like, what makes those things happen. Like, I think, gosh, there's, like, so much I could say that I don't want to, like, as long as, like, my certain relatives are still alive and stuff. Like,
but, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Like, it's just, I want to, like, but, yeah, like,
people getting pressured into,
yeah, like, well, no, I've never felt pressure from an outside source. Like,
okay,
it's more of what I want and what I, like, picture my life looking like, and what I know if I bob this way and weave that way, like, it sounds super silly. I think if we're going back to this advice to this girl, I would say, like, I think having a conversation of, like, hey, like, you know, totally fine if you want to have your events be a certain crowd, but, like, you know, if it really comes down to, like, what do you think, you don't think I'll have fun and that's why you're not inviting me, I would rather make that decision for myself.
Yeah, I feel like that is kind of a weird wedge if there's multiple couples in your best friend group and then just you. Like, I feel like, yeah, at some point you probably will start to feel kind of pushed out, right? Like, if these are established couples and their relationships are getting longer and longer and you're, like, still kind of just, like, dating and it sucks and, like,
I feel like that would
be a separation.
I mean, it can happen, but it's also, like, the more you, like, make it a thing, the more it is a thing. Like, the more you're, like, I'm the single one, they're the coupled ones.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I see people that are, like, oh, like, I'm the last single friend, like, half of the reason that it's such an issue is because they go around saying, I'm the last single friend. And, like, where it's like, oh, no, like, I'm so single. Like, if you just, like, invite
I'm
people to stuff.
Single! That's how I'm, like,
but, like, if you go and you invite people to stuff just as they are, and, like, yeah, your friends are couples, but they're, you know, you just invite them as a pair, whatever.
like, the more, and it sucks, cause it, like, it kind of puts you in a rock and a hard place of, like, do I talk to my friends about this, my closest friends who I want to talk about my dating struggles with?
Yeah.
Do I talk to them about this issue and then they know that I'm struggling and then all of a sudden my single status is a thing, or do I, you know, keep it to myself? Like, I think it kind of, I think that's maybe where, like, I feel like an outside party, like a therapist, like, if you're not going to a therapist already, like,
because
also, like, not so much like being excluded, but more so just because, like, married people do this, but just giving bad advice, like, it'll happen when you least expect it. And, like, I think a therapist would just give you more helpful advice versus, like,
I just want to be like, girl, go to a rave, go to, like, a DJ set.
Well, should I not like that?
You don't even need therapy.
That's the thing. Not all single people like that. Like, and I think that's a thing that, like, side note, that people that, you know, are frustrated by their coupled friends, because I know, because I, like, not so much, like, that issue, but, like, your coupled friends, like, you're the last single one, whatever, you've been single a while, like, calling you, being like, oh, you're the fun one, you're the single one, like, did you just go out and party all night last night? And it's like a Tuesday the night before. It's like, no, I sat on my couch and watched TV the same way you did. I just didn't have a fucking husband next to me. Like,
yeah,
like, I'm not this crazy fucking floozy. Or, like, they call, like, my husband's out of town, like, come take me out to the strip. It's like, I don't go to strip clubs. Like, what the fuck? Like,
they, like, forget how, like, normal people behave.
Yeah, but, like, it's like, I think that's, like, so annoying. Like, I don't know. It's also just, like, it's just, like, when they go, oh, can I play Tinder? How do I use this thing? Like, acting, yeah, like, they don't know what to do. It's, like, it's one thing when, like, because, like, do you ever, like, run into, like, boomers or something that are, like, married, like, would never have even gone near the dating apps, and then they're just like, oh my god, if I were single on the dating apps, I'd be on a date every night of the week. Or, like, you see, like, men tell this to, like, single guys, like, older married men, they're like, I would just be getting my dick sucked all the time. It's like, no the fuck you wouldn't.
Dude,
no you wouldn't.
That is some, it's like, that is some risky behavior.
But, like,
you learn just quick. Like, I feel like you learn pretty quick not to, like, do risky things with Hinge and Tinder.
But boomers are just like, oh, like, if I was your age, I'd be on a date every night. I would have guys take me to, I would be getting my dick sucked behind a garbage can. Like,
oh my god,
it's like,
dude,
it's insane, like, what people like that will
That's
say.
So
it's like,
so misogynistic.
It's one thing when boomers do it, though. Like, it's another thing when, like, it's your friends that were probably single and have used a dating app. They're your same age. Like, come on.
Like, I'd be crazy on there.
Yeah.
But, no, when you use those apps and you meet up for dates, you learn pretty damn quick, I think. Like, don't just be doing anything. Because you, like, the statistically, the possibility that you're gonna meet a freak tonight, high.
Yeah.
Higher than it should be. There's a lot of freaks on there.
Yeah.
And it's always, it's weird, you know? Like, you, I don't know. Yeah. Who the fuck has, like, overwhelmingly positive experiences with?
No one, but boomers assume that they just would. Classic boomers.
Yeah, classic boomer. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeesh, crazy. Yeah.
And if you do end up on a weird experience with a strange person, or you don't know if they're strange or not and you want to learn, you can always use publicdatacheck.com.
Oh, tell us.
Yeah. Yeah, so publicdatacheck.com, if you don't know much about what's going on with this person you've matched with on a dating app, you've never met them before, it's basically a blind date. You want to make sure this person's not a murderer. So what do? You punch their name, which you can find pretty easily, into publicdatacheck.com, and basically all of the basics you want to know. And also, you don't learn too much. It's not like you're going onto their Facebook page or something like that and going all the way back into seeing, like, their high school stuff. It's just enough information. Are they a murderer? Like, you know, do all these things check out? Oh, no. Like, that looks like it could be a wife. Something like that. It's just the right amount of information.
What?
Publicdatacheck.com.
It'll tell you if they're married?
It says potential relatives, and you'll see someone with the same last name.
And you only need their first name? Or first and last name?
You would need to track down their last name, but usually a dating app gives you enough information. Or you can use a phone number, reverse search, if they give you a phone.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Public data check?
Publicdatacheck.com.
Hell yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Dude, you do not know. Because it's like, people are always like, oh, he could be a murderer. And it's like, he could just be, like,
weird,
shitty and scary and creepy. Like, he could kind of low-key stalk you after this.
There's a lot of really angry, terrible, like, things you can do that just aren't illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Oh, I think this was a fun episode.
Dude.
Death, destruction, friendships.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm tired.
Me too. I'm going to come back to your house.
Tomorrow.
Oh, that sounds so good right now.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.